Alright guys, welcome to Roofing Stories episode 7. I know we are kinda going live. This is the second episode we're recording today, and it is live on Facebook, so if you want to see previews of every episode before they go on YouTube, Spotify, and so on, you'll be able to find them on my Facebook lives. So, we are here with new special guests, and something that we usually don't do, and our first guest that is actually in roofing product production, which we didn't have a chance to talk to anybody in that supply chain, I would say. We usually talk to roofing contractors and people who are currently in the roofing industry, but it's a pleasure to have you, Joe. And yeah, the title of the episode is How Joe Plans to Revolutionize Roofing Industry and Commercial Roofing. So tell us more about yourself, Joe. Welcome.
Sure. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast, and it is an honor to be here and to share some information of the passion that I have in my career, which, you know, if you remember the old Godfather movies, it's like he said, you know, once you're in, you try to get out, they pull you back in. That's kind of how I feel about the roofing industry.
Is just once when I was out. They pull me back in.
So, you know, roofers, roofing contractors, they probably quit every other day, but then they get pulled back in because they have that passion to be in the industry. So
just one more roof replacement. Just one.
Just one more. One more. Yeah.
We need one more.
Yeah. So a little background is this. I came from a background of kind of marketing, advertising, sales, you know, background. But about 12 years ago, a friend of mine called me up one day and he said, hey, Joe, man, I'm making all kinds of money over here doing doing roofing. And I was like, what are you talking about? And, you know, I knew what roofing was, but I'd never really sold roofing or, you know, been involved with a roofing company. I knew like home improvement, things like that. So a hailstorm had hit an area that I was living in, originally from Tennessee. You probably can't tell by my accent, but I'm originally from the Knoxville, Tennessee area, and they don't have a lot of hail there. So once about every 50 years, you get this huge hailstorm, and that was the one that came. And it was this baseball size hail and destroyed like a 5-county radius, you know, all the roofs. And so he had gotten on with his company and was basically learning the roof restoration insurance business and was going door to door, knocking on doors, talking to people and, you know, inspecting their roofs. And he said, you got to come over here. You would be great at this. And I was a little skeptical. You know, I was like, man, I'm not going to go knock on doors. You know, surely there's another way for me to make money besides knocking on doors. So I went and talked with their sales manager, and the guy pitched me, you know, their company and what they do and how easy it was. And, you know, knocking on doors was certainly part of it. And it was kind of, you know, it was a 1099 independent contractor position. So, you know, what you got out there and hustled and you were grinding and whatever effort you put forth, that's the kind of money you can make. So I learned it pretty quickly, went out there and started knocking on doors. Being from that area, of course, I related to the people, you know, they were Tennessee people like me. And so, you know, they really didn't understand the insurance business that well, so that, you know, because they hadn't had to deal with it. And so I would go and knock on the door and say, hey, I just want to do a roof inspection. We've had hail. I want to check your roof for hail. If you've had hail, there's a potential that the insurance company would pay for your brand new roof. So I started doing that, man, and one thing led to another, and I started getting customer after customer after customer, learned how to do adjuster meetings, met adjusters, you know, begin to get more experience of what I was looking for. Got more experience talking to people. They would refer me to someone else. And I mean, it was true. I mean, I really did start making really, really good money in the roofing industry. And because I had a background, I was a little older at the time anyway than most of the younger guys. So as soon as they had an opportunity for a sales management position, they came to me and said, hey, would you be interested in teaching other people how to do this? And I really enjoyed that. So I said, yeah, I would love to do that. So we built a sales team. The company was growing. It was expanding. And they said, would you be willing to go on the road and help us start other branches of our company? And I said, yeah, I'll do that too. So I became a general manager of some of their branches. And then I began to go out and actually help them plant other branches. And the company really grew big time. So that was really my first introduction to the roofing industry, was that storm restoration side of things.
Of course, yeah. So what would you say is this decision to be, I mean, you said that from what I heard, is that the money factor is something that you brought in, that you brought you in originally. So having this knowledge, having years of experience in the roofing industry, both as a product seller, as a service seller, and so on, is this a decision you regret? Or is this something you look into and say, I'm glad that I actually took the call and I went in for the money?
Man, it's really the best decision that I've made. When I decided to actually take this position, here's what I looked at. I looked at what the potential was, not just to make really good money. And you can make good money quick, especially in the roof restoration business, you know. But if you're making the roofing industry a long-term career, then what I saw was that the roofing industry was beginning to change. This was, you know, 12, 13 years ago. The roofing industry was beginning to change. The model was changing. Technology was changing. Things were becoming more computerized, you know, using your phone, the aerial satellite views, the CRM systems that you were going to use. The old school roofing guys, and not to criticize any of those guys, because they kind of, you know, were the first ones, they were the frontiersmen of the roofing industry. But, you know, the way they used to do it was, you know, drive up in their, you know, beat up truck and give somebody an estimate on a napkin. You know, here's what we can do for you. And that's not really what we do anymore. You know, we could take a satellite view of a person's house. You know, you know what you're looking for. Now you're working with insurance companies in certain situations. So technology's changed, and I really felt like that the people who got in on the ground floor of that and really learned it, not just the sales part of it, but the project management. How does a roof go on? The products that you use. Again, the, you know, the CRM, how to keep up with your customers, the administrative part of it. All of those things combined, if you really learn those, I felt like that was a leap into a great career that really you would never be without a job, because roofing's not going away. You know, it's not one of those things that, you know, is here today and gone tomorrow. I mean, we're always going to need a, you know, roofing companies and a roofing industry, because people need roofs, whether it's residential or commercial, and we're ever growing. And if you ever go to any of these trade shows now, like I've done the International Roofing Expo 2 years in a row. Dallas was last year. Las Vegas was this year. If you ever go to one of these trade shows, you'll see how advanced the roofing industry has become and how professional it is. You know, so it's not just, again, the good old boy network. It's a really expanding. It's not just men, it's men and women. It's people from different countries, different nationalities. And it's a big technology kind of blast here that I'm seeing. So I felt like if that was going to happen, which it has, then I was going to set myself up in a career that was going to be able to take me through the rest of my years of working.
Of course. Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, that's extensive background, and I truly agree. There is a technology move. And even if we say that blue collar jobs won't be affected as much as white collar jobs will be, there is still going to be AI impact in roofing industry, in the blue-collar jobs. So I truly believe that this big marketing change and this change in the roofing industry and in the world will come to all industries. So not just blue-collar or white-collar, it doesn't matter. It's coming for all of us. In every single space, in marketing, in roofing, in sales, everywhere. We already have people trying AI callers, and you literally can get a call by AI. And yes, it is primitive at this point, but in a year or two, it will actually sound like a human, and that's an issue, right? So how do you manage to stay on top of the trends with the constant change? Because as I say, you want to revolutionize the commercial roofing. How do you keep up with the trends and evolution that comes faster and faster year by year?
Well, I think part of that's my personality. I am not the younger guy on the block anymore. I'm not the oldest, but I'm not the younger guy. But even as a young person, getting my career going, I always looked for innovative ways to do things, and was, self-teaching myself, self-taught a lot of things. I remember when I, went to college, this will tell how old I am, back in the late 80s, and you had one computer class. If you weren't majoring in computers, you could take one computer class, which is like intro to computers. And I went to Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, outside of Nashville. And when we signed up for our classes, they had the little cards with little Chads poked out in them, and you went up and you grabbed your card from a particular table of a class you wanted to take and a time that you wanted to have. You got a card from that table. You went over to another table that was teaching a different class and got a card. And when you were finished, you went and handed those in, and they ran those through their computer, and it gave you a dot matrix printout of all your classes. Well, that's ancient now, right? So I just thought, I'm going to learn everything I can over the years. So that was one thing. So you got to have a passion to learn. You never can stop learning. YouTube, man, was great for me. When YouTube came out, I told my wife I was either going to fix everything in the house or I was going to blow myself up. So I haven't blown myself up. So I've learned to fix a lot of things by just, again, educating myself. We've got more knowledge at our disposal now via the internet and, computers and opportunity to learn than we ever have before. So you take advantage of those. And then, you surround yourself with good people, surround yourself with smart people, surround yourself with people who, have different strengths and different weaknesses. And you learn from people where you're not very strong, learn from others. And maybe they learn from you where they're not strong. And so you surround yourself with good people and associate with good people. And if you want to be a higher level, higher ethical, person, and you want to really succeed in life, I think that you associate with those type of people. That's really a true statement. No matter what you do in life, if you associate with people who are going to drag you down, you're going to go down. But if you associate with people who are going to bring you up, you're going to advance. And that's what I've tried to do along the way in the roofing industry, is keep learning, surround myself with people, and never say that I know it all, because I don't. I don't know it all. I'm always learning, no matter what my age is.
Of course. Yeah. Definitely, probably why you are so successful, because you don't allow your age to stop you. And again, maybe this is something, a question you don't want to answer, but how old are you? Because you brought it up.
Yeah. I'm 58 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess you take good care of yourself, because I know many 58 people who are, when they reach 50, they get children, they're like, man, it's fine. I won in life. I can let myself go. But unlike others, I think you take a good care of yourself, which is definitely why you last longer, and this is why you are still in the industry. But maybe that comes from being a seller, because if you want to sell something, you need to look professional. You need to look like, you need to demand authority by your looks, all right? And maybe that comes from that, or maybe I'm mistaken.
Well, I agree with you. I think that, there's something about some people, have a great career, but then they let the other part of their life go, whether that be your health or what kind of shape you're in, what you abuse or what you don't abuse, not judging anyone. But all those things play into how successful I think you're going to be. And you've got to have, you know, a sharp mind, no matter what age you are. And there are things that can cause you to have a foggy brain, and there's things that can be more clarity to life. And so whether I'm at home or whether I'm at work, whether I'm with my wife, whether I'm with my kids, which my kids are adults now, you know, you want to be sharp and you want to be energetic. And so there are things that you really have to do intentionally to have that healthy balance. And if you want to have a long, enduring life, you know, we never know how much time we have here. But, it, you know, we certainly don't want to do anything to take away from that. So I've tried to do that. I mean, I'm not perfect by any means. And I have a good, supportive, you know, spouse who's the same way. I mean, we have, you know, like thinking in that manner. And again, associate with people who are like that as well. And that's kept me motivated. You know, I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of, again, listen to podcasts. I listen to Audible books. And I'm always trying to learn things. So that keeps you, I think, going. And, you know, always communicating with people. You know, that's one of the things throughout my life that I've found that has been a successful part is, you know, you can always communicate with different types of people. They don't always have to be like you. You can learn from people. And I've tried not to burn bridges, you know, and I've tried to learn from people. Even when I've left companies, I've tried not to be an enemy to that company. Hey, I'm leaving. I'm going to a different avenue of life, but hey, I want to stay in contact if we can. You never know when those roads will cross again, especially if you're in the roofing industry. You know, you never know when you might be able to help those people or they might be able to help you. So I'm trying to keep that philosophy of life going in my career.
Yeah, definitely. So because your extensive knowledge in sales, what is the biggest sales advice you have to other roofing companies and other roofing salesmen? What is your biggest sales advice to all of them?
Yeah, training. You got to train your sales team, and you got to continually train them, and you got to continually, you know, I think, I don't think you, if you get the right people, the right sales team, you don't have to really motivate them. They should be self-motivated, right? The right team should be self-motivated. But what you have to be careful of is don't demotivate them. Don't do things to, you know, bring their energy down. And I think sometimes companies or working with sales team, they do things that demotivate people instead of continually to give them energy and give them tools to do their job. So training, the right tools to do the job, you know, opportunities to sell, you know, let them go to training events, train from others. But training and having a really good chemistry of a sales team, almost like, I don't know if you're a sports fan, but I'm a huge sports fan. Mm-hmm. I love all kinds of sports, but football is probably my favorite sport. I
played American football or
yeah, American football. Yeah. Yeah. I played that growing up through high school and almost mm-hmm. went to college to play. But, you know, you can have the greatest talent on a team, and if you don't have the right chemistry, that team's not going to do well. We've seen that happen. We've seen like, you know, oh, this is the greatest team of all time, and they don't make it to the Super Bowl yeah. or they don't win the championship. So you really got to have a company that has the proper leadership. And I'd say the leaders are kind of like the coaches, you know, you got to have a head coach, you got to have coaches, and you've got to have the players, and you've got to have the right leadership. You got to have the right training, and you've got to have the right chemistry. And when you can get all that stuff balanced together and keep it together, then you see companies really just grow and expand and explode with, you know, making profitable growth for their company and their people.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, everything is about that, and everything is about the synergy and the team game. As you mentioned, so many super teams were made, but that doesn't essentially guarantee success. If you have no training, if you have no union, if you have no teamwork, there's no success. Like, you can have any amount of greatest players ever, that doesn't mean there will be success. I mean, we can see that MJ went from Chicago Bulls to Wizards, his own team, his own franchise, and he was so bad. Or we can see Shaq O'Neal, that he went to other team and he was absolutely awful, right? I mean, if there is no team game, if there is no mental strength, there is no success. So definitely, but besides sales, besides your previous experiences, and besides having huge industry experience, can you tell us more about your new avenue, your new work idea, and what is the Fiber Seal base? Why do you think this is going to revolutionize commercial roofing and coating roofing? Like, what is it all about? Why should we be aware of this industry change?
Yes, yeah. Well, one of the things I did, again, while I was working in the roofing industry, was learn as much as I can, whether it be residential or commercial, and surround myself with people who were smarter than I was and who knew more that I could learn from. And one of those companies and one of those individuals that I began to learn from early on about commercial roofing and also about commercial roof coatings was a guy by the name of Sonny Arwood. And Sonny owned a company back in the day called E. Green. And E. Green was a commercial roofing company, but did majority roof coatings. So I learned about roof coatings and what their benefits were and how they could be applied to a commercial roof system. I'm talking hands-on learning, went out and did the installation, you know, did the cleaning of the roofs, the installation of the roofs, and went out and sold these coating jobs. And as I said a few minutes ago, don't ever burn a bridge because you never know when passing across again. So I went on my way into the roofing industry. And Sonny continued to excel in his company. But one of the things he was doing was he was developing products, new roof coating products. If you're familiar with commercial roof coatings, one of the main ways that manufacturers want you to apply their coatings is on seams and penetrations on a roof. And every roof has a seams and penetrations. And if you really diagnose the problem, about 90% of all leaks occur where there's a seam or a penetration on a roof. So what usually manufacturers require most installers to do is do a three-course method, they call it, where you put down coating on a seam or around a penetration, and then they want you to embed a polyester-type fabric in the coating to give it tensile strength, they call it, and then you put more coating on top of it. It's a very tedious type task. It's a lot of times the people who are installing that are on their hands and knees. They're trying to spread out the fabric to get it flat onto the roof so there's no creases, there's no way that water can get in, and it takes a long time to do. But Sonny was actually developing a product where there was no need for that three-course. It was called Fiber Seal Base, and he worked with a chemist over 20 years ago, and this chemist actually was a chemist who worked with a variety of manufacturers across the world in developing products. So they began to develop a product. He had an idea. And that's where Fiber Seal Base came from. Fiber Seal Base is a polyurethane acrylic hybrid chemistry in the coating, and it's already got fibers in the coating. So when you put it down onto a seam of penetration, you don't have to use any fabric or anything. It's already there. And it gets sprayed down normally, and it's about 10 times faster than the regular method. So that's the flagship product. So backing up on my story again, Sonny and I stayed in contact over the years. I actually used his products, and then about over a year ago, Sonny and I came back in contact. He had opened an office in the Florida market, and that's where I was living. I live there now. And he needed someone to manage his new office. And we began to talk, and one thing led to another. And I came aboard with a company called Fluid Applied Roofing, FAR for short, Fluid Applied Roofing. And so I began to manage the office, begin to learn about the products. We manufacture several different kinds of coating. The Fiber Seal Base is just one. That's our flagship product. is a fiber seal base. And if you go and look up Flip-Top Roofing, you'll see this blue coating that gets sprayed down. That's the fiber seal base. But we make systems for metal. We make systems for single ply roofs like TPO, PVC, EPDM rubber. We make systems for modified bitumen roofs. We make systems for built up roofs. We can even do tar and gravel, foam. So we make systems for all these type of roofs, but the fiber seal base is always that flagship product that goes on all the seams and penetrations. And then you put your top coats on. So we do make silicones now as well. But most of our products are a polyurethane acrylic hybrid. So I work with them. I'm the director of training for our company. So I do a lot of training with contractors. We work directly with contractors. We don't have a middleman. So we're not being distributed by anybody else. We go straight to the contractors and they go out and bid on jobs. We help them with that. We give them material costs. We give them support. If they need sales support, we help them in that avenue. But to tell you a little bit about coatings, roof coatings, the commercial roofing industry worldwide is about $4.4 billion right now. Roofing Contractor Magazine came out with an article about 2 months ago. It was talking about the roof coating market. The roof coating market is the fastest growing segment of commercial roofing. And in 10 years, it's going to double in size. So it's going to go from 4.4 to about $9 billion, if they're correct in their research and predictions, in the next 10 years. So that just shows you that roof coatings are becoming more and more popular, and the technology is creating better and better and better products. So that's one of the things that our company really takes pride in, is we really do a lot of technological research and testing and advancement in our coatings. But that fiber seal base is a game-changing type product for most contractors. Saves them a lot of time. It's an easier application, and it is a quality, durable product. One of the things you look for in roof coating products is the elongation, because commercial roofs will move, especially like if you're talking about a metal roof. It moves, it contracts and expands. So you have to have coating products that will contract and expand with the roof to keep them from cracking. And so the fiber seal base has 500% elongation factor, which means it, once it cures, it stretches. So another thing about roof coatings is once you put them on, they became a monolithic membrane on that roof. So again, we're talking about most leaks happen where? Seams, penetrations. If you have a monolithic membrane on a roof, you have no seams or penetrations. So you're leak-proofing that roof. So really that fiber seal base and the products we're developing at Fluid Applied Roofing and working hand-in-hand in those relationship with contractors is really starting to grow our business. We're expanding like crazy. We're nationwide now, and we're actually getting ready to go into other countries as well. We're having those conversations. I have those conversations about once a week now.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I hear you now. Oh, damn. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Sorry about that. I was muted because I was coming up with the questions, but I'm not somebody, as I said before while I was muted. I'm not somebody who has a lot of experience when it comes to roofing. I didn't do roofing myself, but from the passion and from what you're explaining, it definitely seems to be a revolutionizing product, especially because once you fill in the crack or the penetration, as you said, it spreads around, which allows you to connect with other cracks, which makes it the best product in the market for sure. So how new is your product? Is this something that is quite new in the roofing space, or how long have you been in business?
Yeah, so we have been in business. It went to market about 10 years ago, but our owner had this chemistry and the chemical makeup of this product 20 years ago. So he began to use it on, when he was still a contractor, he used it on his own projects before he even went to market with it, testing it, making sure it was going to work properly. So a little over 10 years ago, the company was formed, Fluid Applied Roofing. We went to market with it. And then over the last 10 years, we've really grown, especially the last 5 years. We've expanded as a company. We've added several different members of our team. We now, again, opened another location here in Florida. And we look to probably double in size this year. We're developing new products. We've got a Uracil caulk that we've developed that's going to get ready to hit the market. It's a low temperature type product to where if it's really cold, if you're in a colder environment, you can use this product and it's not going to freeze on you, and you'll be able to use it on roofs as, you know, to do a lot of repairs and things like that. If you have a customer that has a leaky seam or a leaky penetration, and it's you know, freezing outside, you can still use this product and go outside and be able to apply it. We also have developed what's called a waterborne silicone. Most silicones are not waterborne. So when you apply a silicone, normally if you're spraying it, and that's what a lot of these contractors do, is they spray these through a spray rig. And if you spray it, usually you have to have a separate rig for silicone because of the makeup of it. You can't use it in the same rig as you do your other acrylic products. But this waterborne silicone, we call it a NovaSeal, can be actually sprayed to the same rig as your acrylic products, and it has a 700% elongation in it. Just happened to have a sample of it right here, and you can tell how it stretches. And so it's moving. When this gets on a roof, it's going to move with the roof, and 700% elongation, which is unheard of. So we're excited about our new products as we're expanding. And we're working with contract. We have contractor training. We do a contractor certification for our contractors. So we just don't give them a product and tell them to go out there and put it on. We actually train our contractors and certify them on how to apply our products so that they can offer 10, 15, and 20-year warranties to their customers. So that's important as well, is that we have these contractor trainings about once a month, once every other month. They're always full. We have people trying to get into the training because they want to learn how to use our product. And then we have contractors all over the United States who are applying our products to commercial roofs. And if you, again, if you go and look up Fluid Applied Roofing, social media, or look it up on YouTube, you will see all kinds of videos, because one of the things we try to do too is really take advantage of that social media platform to get out there and do a lot of videos. And I try to do a lot of videos myself and a lot of posting myself on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, social media is everything. And, as we move forward, you already said it is important that we stick to the trends and, be part of these trends. So why, besides all of these reasonings, how do you think that, commercial roofing industry will change in 10 years? I know you mentioned that you saw the article that roofing coating will increase or double in size in the next 10 years. So do you think this article that you saw is backed up with some research, or why do you think it will double in size in 10 years?
Yeah, well, I think it's, you know, it is backed up by research. I mean, there are quite a few different companies who, you know, they research and see what kind of products are going to technologically advance, what kind of products may not advance, what trends in the industry are going to be popular, ones that may, you know, decrease. You know, about 20 years ago or so, TPOs came on the scene, and TPOs are a great roofing system. You know, they probably up or have taken up about 70% of the commercial market is putting TPOs on flat or low slope roofs. But those are kind of getting to the end of their life as far as their lifespan. So you're either going to have to do a brand new TPO, which may be what you choose to do, or if they're still sustainable, you can put a coating. So I want to clarify something. Not every roof can be coated. So I don't want people to think out there, well, he's like pushing coatings for every situation and every roof. No, I'm not. I think you've got to do almost like I used to tell my salespeople, you know, you can't push a product or a system on everybody you're trying to sell. An example was when you go to the doctor for a physical, and if the doctor were to come in and all of a sudden didn't take your temperature, didn't take your heart rate, didn't take your blood pressure, didn't do any blood work, and he just wrote you a prescription. He said, go home and take these pills. You'll feel better. You're going to be like, what are you doing, doc? You didn't even like check me. So that is important, not only in the medical field, but it's important in the roofing industry, that when we're looking at a facility or talking to a customer, we find out exactly what are their needs, you know, by using, you know, questions and doing an inspection of the roof. Inspections are really important. We've got to get on that roof. And that's what we teach our contractors, is get on the roof, inspect the roof, see if a coating would even be an answer to their problem. Because some roofs are too far gone. Some roofs have gotten really bad leaks. It's gotten saturated and you can't put coating on them because it'll trap that moisture in there. So those type of roofs, you have to put a brand new roof on. But for the roofs that can be sustained, coatings are a great answer. They're about 30-50% less than a traditional re-roof, so you're saving the customer money. They're energy efficient. The top coat or the finish coat that normally coatings are put on at the very end are about 85-90% UV reflective. So we know UV rays are the worst enemy of most roofs. That's what eats away at the roof. So if you can reflect that away from the building, away from the roof, then you're going to sustain that roof for a lot longer. You're also going to lower the energy cost in that facility during the summer months, especially places like here in Florida, where it gets really, really hot. If you're reflecting the UV rays, then your air conditioning is not going to have to run overtime. So it's going to be a cooler environment inside. So sometimes these roofs will actually pay for themselves over a 10, 15, 20-year period. You've got actually not a liability with your roof. You've got an investment. So if your roof pays for itself over a period of time, you've got an investment there. So there's a lot of benefits. It's tax deductible in year one. There are some cities, some counties, some states which use a roof coating, and they call them cool roofs. If you use that type of system on a commercial roof, they'll give you a rebate back to the commercial building owner. So you'll get so many cents per foot back. So you're actually getting a discount on the roof. So you have lower manpower. It doesn't take as many people to do coatings. You're not doing tear off of the roof, so you're not filling up the landfills. You're not having to bring in dump trucks. The logistics are not as complicated. You're doing a roof coating system. So there are a lot of benefits that can be explained, and you know, you can educate the building owner, and they can make an educated decision based off your analysis. And that's what we're teaching our contractors, and that's what we're teaching people about roof coatings. And those are some of the reasons that it's going to continue to grow and expand. There are some cities across the United States where you can't put a new roof on a commercial building unless it's an energy efficient roof. So if you go to California, you're going to have to put energy efficient roofs on commercial buildings. If you go to the city of Boston, you've got energy efficient roofs on buildings. So I see this happening more and more and more across the United States. A lot of our European countries and people like that, actually, they've been doing this for a lot longer than we have, putting energy efficient white roofs. Some of those places even put white on their streets, because we know that the streets can be absorbing the heat or they can be reflecting the heat. So there's all kinds of scientific research that goes into this as well, not just gibberish about, oh, you need a roof coating. There's a lot of scientific backing and research in it as well.
In Europe, for example, they are really pulling this idea of efficient roofs, because as you know, big cities get very hot, and they warm up during the day And at night, they just release all this heat, and it gets very hot. And what most European countries are really pushing for is you have all these big residential and commercial buildings having their roofs literally turned into parks to have energy-efficient roofs. And it's a must to have because it's getting too hot. And I definitely see where US is going with that, and I think it's definitely a good idea. But many people, when it comes to utilizing new technologies, think that utilizing a new technology is most likely more expensive. So how does fiber steel base compare with, let's say, something that is now mostly used in commercial roofing industry? Why would, of course, there are so many benefits that you mentioned, and I agree they are very good, but ultimately, when it comes to moving to a different product, to a different way of doing things, how does it compare in price? How pricier or how more expensive your solution is to a normal other solution?
Yeah, it's actually really competitive. You know, making roof coatings and the chemistry of that, you know, the research certainly doesn't. It's not cheap to do all that research, but the makeup of the coatings, once they're developed and you're selling it to the contractor or to the building owner, it's very competitively priced. And another thing is that I said this a few minutes ago, our fiber seal base allows a contractor to do the roof quicker. So you're not losing quality. You know, a lot of times people say, if you're doing it quicker, you must be like not, you're not the same quality. Well, that's untrue. We're not talking about that. We're still talking about doing the same quality or better quality, but you're able to get a job done quicker. So if you're a contractor, what are you trying to do? You're trying to make more profit dollars for your company so your company will grow, right? And how do you do that? Well, you maximize your amount of money you're making on that project, and you're lining yourself up to where once you're finished with this project, you're able to move on to another project. You're able to move on to another project. What costs you the most money as a contractor is when you have to have a huge labor force to do a job and you're camping out at that project. So you've got 10 guys on a roof and you're there for 6 months. Guess what? That's cha-ching. That's costing you a lot of money. So with roof coatings, you're able to get in and out. Now, the bigger the roof, the longer it's going to take, of course. But compared to having to do a traditional re-roof, it's a lot faster. It's a lot more efficient. Again, less people, and you have a competitive price. Generally, again, if a building owner or company is comparing a roof coating system to a traditional re-roof, then you're usually going to be 30 to 50% less for a roof coating system.
Of course. So let's say somebody wants to try your systems because they're impressed by your knowledge, just like I am. I mean, I apologize, but I don't really know much about commercial roofing. But from what I'm hearing, it all makes sense and it's an extremely beneficial product. So maybe I should have asked this before the podcast episode, but is there maybe an offer that you guys could make to somebody who is watching this podcast and wants to try your product? Is there any offer you could maybe make to them so they actually try out the product and see if they like it? Or this is something you're not allowed to say?
Well, I mean, you know, as far as an offer, what I would offer them is, first of all, just let's have a conversation, you know, and let me get on a Google Meet call with them and show them some things, or invite them to a contractor training. We certainly can give them some samples to try. But one of the most important things is let's engage in a conversation first. And you can always reach out to me on social media. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on X, which is formerly Twitter. You can reach me. My email is pretty easy. It's Joe. My name is Joe, J-O-E, at fluidappliedroofing.com. So Joe at fluidappliedroofing.com. I'm also known on a lot of the social media as Renaissance Roofing Dude. So you can look up Renaissance Roofing Dude, and you can probably find me on a lot of those things. So I would say the offer is let's reach out and have a conversation first. Let me Let me tell you more about our product, more about our company, and not just being a company that sells products, but here's a phrase, and this, I stole this phrase from some other person, so it's not my original phrase, but I really like it. Mm-hmm. I use it a lot. It seems like most people who sell something to someone, whether it be a manufacturer selling to a consumer, a roofing manufacturer selling to a contractor, most of the time that is a transactional relationship, right? So you call me up or you email me, I need X amount of your product, and I say it's going to be X amount of money. So you pay me the money, I ship you the product. Well, that's still true. But the companies I think that will succeed and really grow are not the ones that are transactional, but the ones who have a transformational relationship. What I mean by that is we care about our contractors, right? If you're a contractor, we want your business to grow. We want you to have all the knowledge of how to do these jobs. We want you to know the good, the bad, and the ugly. We want to work hand in hand with you. There's lots of times we actually go out on site with you as a contractor and show you things about you. So that's one of the things that we really pride ourselves on, because a lot of us come from that side of the industry. So not only do you get our product, but you get the experience of our team. You get that transformational type relationship where we want to help your business to grow. Because if you're not growing, what good is our products, right? So that's what my offer would be, is let us help your business be transformed by new technology and the knowledge we have about roof coating in this world today.
Yep, definitely. I mean, that's a good offer, and I definitely recommend anybody who is in commercial roofing to reach out to you. And there is a thing that I took from the Diary of the CEO by Stephen Barnett. Maybe you watched the podcast, maybe you saw it, or maybe you did not. But everything or something he does at the end of every episode is he asks the guest to ask a question to another guest. And just before you, we had a roofing company owner from Florida, Alex, and he asked this question, and of course, you can refuse to answer it, but you can answer it if you wish, is what is your biggest mistake you ever made? And if you could, what would you do, and how would you deal with it now?
I think biggest mistake, and you know, if we're going to be honest, we make a lot of mistakes in life. That's how we learn, right? I think the biggest mistake in the very beginning, I think, was letting the money aspect of the potential of being in the roofing industry drive some of my motives, you know, like, this is a great opportunity to make money. And that's a mistake, because not that money is bad. I mean, money can do wonderful things, you know. But if you let the money drive you, then you're going to, number one, I think you're going to burn out, because it's just going to make you burn out. I mean, because it's really about the people, right? Whether it's the people you're working with, on your team of your company, or whether it's the people that you're serving as a contractor or as a manufacturer. So what I try to do now is I let the people drive me, the passion of the people drive me, and not the money. But that was a mistake in the beginning, and that's really pushed a lot in the roofing industry too. I mean, is how much money you can make, you know? And so that really draws a lot of people in. But I think I've seen a lot of people burn out. A lot of people make mistakes because of just letting the money part drive them. It's got to be your passion for the people.
Yep, for sure, for sure. And what would be the question that you would ask our next guest?
Yes, so I think I would go back to that phrase that I used earlier, and it would be this. How are you letting your business transform your customers? Whether your customers are homeowners or building owners, or whether your customers like mine are contractors, how are you letting your business and what drives your business actually transform those customers?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So it was a pleasure to have you on, Joe. And I truly believe that your product and the product you believe in and work for will transform the commercial roofing market. And I will definitely recommend it to my clients, and I would definitely recommend it to Robin if he happens to see this this episode, because Robin has a big company, Trust Roofing, and he does a lot of commercial work. So yeah. I think your product is definitely something that we'll be seeing in 10 years' time. And I definitely believe it will be one of the biggest. So yeah, thank you for being part of the show. Hopefully you enjoy the podcast. Hopefully, it was a good experience. That's all I can say. And definitely check out Joe Lambert. Reach out to him. Talk to him about his product and fiber seal base and his company, because from what I heard, I truly believe it's something that will change the industry and something you should check out. And yeah, tell Joe that you're coming from Roofer's Edge and the Roofing Stories podcast. So yeah, thank you for being part of the show, and we can definitely run back next time.
Thank you so much. It was an honor being here. It's a pleasure being able to speak with you and to share my passion about roofing and especially about roof coating. So again, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we'll end.